Welcome to the Professional Website Investor Podcast, the show where we talk about what it takes to successfully buy, operate, scale, and sell a thriving e-commerce business. When it comes to doing business online, we believe that buying an existing website is far superior to building one from scratch. So, if you're a career professional who is looking to become an e-commerce store owner, listening to this show will give you the knowledge, tools, and community support you need to be successful.
I'm your host, Ryan Cowden. And this week, we're joined by Ian Bond from ProfessionalWebsiteInvestors.com. In this episode of the Professional Website Investor Podcast, Ian and I discuss why it's best for you to focus your investments on websites that do physical goods e-commerce. Once you've decided to get involved in website investing, it can be confusing to know what types of websites and markets you should target. There are several types of markets and business models you can search for, and several factors to consider. You may be wondering if one model is easier or safer than the others. You may also be considering whether you should focus on one type or diversify your projects. In this episode, Ian makes the case that you should center your attention on websites that focus on physical goods e-commerce. In Ian's experience, websites with an established presence buying and selling physical goods are easy to learn, safe to invest in, and have a clear path to profit. In this episode, you'll learn about what the physical goods e-commerce market looks like right now. Second, you'll hear about the main benefits of focusing on physical goods. We're all online shoppers these days, but we still need physical goods, and many people go online specifically to buy physical goods, so this is a wide open market. Third, you should consider finding a niche within the physical goods e-commerce market. Look for one with good profit margins and go specific while many others are going broad. Fourth, you'll hear the problems with other e-commerce models, fulfilled by Amazon or FBA, and software as a service, or SaaS, are riskier, less secure, and harder models to make a profit with. And finally, you'll hear the importance of finding a mentor to guide your efforts. Don't forget to invest in yourself. This is an episode you surely won't want to miss. There's a lot of actionable advice in this episode, so grab something to write with because you're going to want to take notes. As always, I'll be back on the other side to wrap up any loose ends. So without any further ado, here's my conversation with Ian Bond. All right, Ian, welcome back to the podcast. How you been?
Ryan, it's great to see you.
Yeah, it's good to see you too. So we're talking about why people should focus on physical goods when they set up their online websites today. So
absolutely, yes.
Yeah, let's jump right in here. What kind of physical products are we talking about?
So I have a theory on the retail world, and I won't go into the minutia, but the where we focus on are what we call high ticket items, and that's anything at the very low end that's $500 to, for us, the bulk of the things we sell are between $1,000 and $2,500. Our average order is, right around $1,100. And if I were to tell you where I would skew towards in the future, I would skew towards even higher prices than that.
Okay. So just to give people kind of a framework, when we're talking about physical goods, just what are we talking yes. about?
Americans are crazy about their homes. And okay. so yeah. anything that you look around, and see in your home. So let's just back up. Okay. Why do we choose high ticket? And, what are some of the things you should think about? First of all, the dollar margins in high ticket are good, and you pay Google dollars, not percentages, when you're buying advertising. So if you can earn $60 or $100 or $150 or more on an item when you sell it, that's a very good thing. So your average dollar profit per transaction is what pays the light, pays the light bills. It's mm-hmm. not having great percentage margins. And we own and failed at a store that had wonderful margins but sold trinkets. So we want things that have good dollar margins. We want things that people will pull a credit card out readily and buy. people above $500 to $2,000. We'll do that. And we want things that have, that are branded, but doesn't, that they don't have the brand affinity. It's something like, you know, Apple, or, you know, a brand affinity that, you know, where you compete, you know, with people that must have that, that define themselves by that brand. And if you look around your household, most people wouldn't live or die by the brands of things that they have in their household. And we operate in almost every room in the household. So I can tell you that when something is out of stock, oftentimes we have a suggestion of something that is in stock. And you would you might imagine that people will switch pretty quickly their brand affiliation when they want something, they have a contractor coming and they need it, and we can show someone a good reason, you know, because of price or functionality or both or whatever, aesthetics, that they should buy something else, they'll switch pretty quickly. They wouldn't do that with an iPhone or something that's really branded. So we have branded suppliers. They're just not of the ilk that, you know, the major fashion houses or a lot of electronics folks are at. So that, that's the reason.
Sure. I think this is such a good topic, because I think when people think e-commerce, they think, well, I need to go super digital or something, but people still need physical goods. They're just buying them online, right?
Yeah. We have a contribution on our site from a friend of the site, Jock Pertle at Digital Experts, Digital Exits. And he does an analysis in the one that we published, you know, his 10-year study of the growth of different monetization models and in online business models. And, you know, far and away, e-commerce is the largest model out there. So, you know, it is, it's enormous. And so as a buyer, as a website investor, you have an enormous opportunity to you know, look at a lot of different things. And only by looking at different ideas can you find what, you know, Warren Buffett would term that perfect pitch that comes down the plate that you want to take a swing at, because you don't have to do anything. You know, now that's not true in some of the, you know, in some of the nichier strategies where you've, you know, tweaked your requirements so high that you don't see things very frequently. So,
So yeah, so there's a huge opportunity. What are the other benefits or positives of focusing on physical goods?
Well, I think physical goods, you know, we're all online shoppers, you know, I think the one thing that everyone listening to this has as a skill set is the ability to look at a website and say, you know, it's pretty or it's not pretty. And, you know, I trust it or I don't trust it, or the product description or the collection description is good and helpful, or it's not. The advice was good, or it was non-existent. And then ultimately, you know, the customer service is good. I think that this is akin to buying a home, or, you know, it's akin to the way people have a natural affinity or natural ability to judge real estate. And I think, Ryan, if you and I, you're in Indiana right now, if you and I were parachuted into some foreign city, we could probably figure out the real estate market. You know, it wouldn't take us forever because we've got some skill set in that, just because, you know, we've looked at apartments and homes before. And I think that for most people, online shopping is, you know, like real estate.
When people are looking to get into selling and buying physical goods, do you recommend finding a niche within that market, like a specific type of physical good that you focus on, or should it be a variety of goods?
Yeah, excellent question. The reality is that the way the online world is stratified is that you have the bricks and mortar people that have an ad, they have an online presence. So think of Home Depot in the household area, you know, as might be a competitor. You know, Home Depot has grown up, you know, as a, you know, bricks and mortar place, but their online business you know, they spend a lot of time on it, and it's an increasing percentage of their sales, and they do that. Then there are specialty online retailers that have been gotten to be huge. And, you know, you go to the National Kitchen and Bath Association and look at who some of the members are. And you'll see people that, you know, get 5,000 visitors a day, and they've been doing this for over 20 years, you know, and they have huge reputations, but they are, you know, very entrenched and, you know, maybe not so specialized. There's one that I skipped in there, which is the online only superstores. You know, they sell everything online. So Wayfair, for example. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's the Home Depots, there's the Wayfairs, then there's the specialty guy, then there's the online only guys that are very broad. And then there's where we operate, which is in very specific niches. And so we want to provide people with a great selection and a be very relevant for exactly what they're looking for so that they don't get lost on our site looking for, being distracted by things that they're not looking for or confused by them, and where we can offer, incredible amount of information, everything from diagrams to videos, have a learning center that's focused on exactly what they'd be interested in, and go incredibly deep in something that's very specific, as opposed to everybody else that's going very broad. And then we can be that destination. And we have several tenants that we operate on, which we'll talk at another time on how we accomplish that. That's a different conversation. But that's the way the retail world works in a nutshell. And that's the opportunity, I think, for investors. I mean, you know, you can go buy Home Depot stock, but if you really want to buy an e-commerce website, a physical goods e-commerce website, look for a niche where you can dominate that niche and where the products sell at a very high price. And, you have good, really good dollar margins to reinvest in your business. That's the holy grail right there.
Okay. So did you know the niche that you were looking for when you got in, or did you kind of try some different things and see what worked?
Well, I mean, I think that's the interesting thing about buying a business as opposed to building a business, right? Okay.
Right.
So if you are going to build a business, you start walking around, you know, maybe furniture stores or, something that I didn't mention. People are very passionate also. You know, Americans will pull out their credit card for everything around their house because Americans are crazy for their houses. They're also very passionate about their hobbies. So, and, you know, things for their kids and stuff like that. There's a lot of things that people will pull a credit card out very readily for, but the builders would, you know, start with the niche selection. Buyers would start with, hey, what are the financial characteristics that I'm looking for? Okay. Do I want higher prices or do I want lower prices? Do I want it to be advice intensive, or do I want it to, you know, sell like a commodity, you know, like something might sell on Amazon where, you know, you don't really get much, you get no advice, you get some information, buyers look for, you know, kind of the profile of the target they're looking for, and they're almost agnostic for what it'll be. Now, After you've looked at enough sites, you'll start to see some of the same niches, you know, over a period of time.
Okay.
So I know a lot about a lot of niches that we don't own stores in because I've seen deals in them, and you know, I know who might be executing well, who's not executing well. I even know some of the suppliers already, but you know, we don't deal with them because we don't own anything in that space.
Okay. Interesting.
So it's a different framework. It's a different way to come at it.
It is. Yeah. Okay. Great. Let's kind of shift over to the other side of here. Why are you recommending that people not go into some of these other business models, these other e-commerce models?
Okay. So specifically in my world, you know, I get lots of questions on lots of different monetization models. You know, I mentioned that physical goods e-commerce is, you know, the majority. It was 52% in the digital exits report. 52% of online businesses that were sold were e-commerce, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, there's another 7% that are FBA, and I get some questions about that. And then there's 12% that were SaaS sites, and I get an enormous number of questions about this 12%. So let me just, you know, be a little bit controversial and say where I think I understand, you know, high ticket physical goods. Mm-hmm. I do not think I understand the, you know, $19.99 to $79 FBA item that somebody might buy at Amazon or maybe, you know, in one of the aisles at Walmart. And I don't mean to disparage anybody. I just don't understand that. Now, I do know people that have had been knocked off. They've had their listings hijacked. I do know people that, I do know a guy that had Amazon come in and call his supplier and take his FBA product from him, okay? That's not going to happen in my world, okay? All of our suppliers, none of our suppliers compete with us online, okay?
Okay.
So I would tell you, and by the way, the old joke in the e-commerce world is no one's ever met, you know, an FBA seller, you know, who had any money. I mean, they're always broke. I mean, they're constantly reinvesting in inventory and scaling up until the day they sell. And that's a, a model that's fraught with, you know, working capital issues. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now let me roll over to the number one, you know, I wanted to cover the, you know, kind of, and by the way, I am looking at FBA. I look at FBA deals all the time. I would love to add FBA to my portfolio. So while I just disparaged it, you know, I'm a deal junkie and I want to be involved with Amazon. I believe in it. And I've taken the negative side because of the way you framed your question. But now let me do the same with SaaS sites. The number one question is somebody will ping me and say that they, you know, they're interested in SaaS sites. And I'll say, software as a service. And I'll say, well, look, you know, unless you're willing to commit a lot of money, you're not going to see a deal. And even if you are, you're probably not. Now, the bulk of these people have some kind of a technology background or think they do. Okay. And, you know, my problem with that is that you could come to me as, you know, me being your potential partner, and you could tell me that you understand the tech platform that this SaaS business is built on, and you could sell me that all day long, and it might be believable. But the real important thing is, what need is the service solving, and do you know that? Okay, yeah. I think you have to think about that, and not the tech platform. So, you know, is somebody going to come in and step in front of you, and, you know, all of your customers are just going to leave? Now, a lot of SaaS sites have you know, a lot of built-in pain for people that leave. You know, the users have a lot invested, and, you know, that is a, you know, a huge selling point. One of the reasons that people are so positive about SaaS sites. But I would tell you that there aren't any lower priced SaaS businesses for sale. There's an enormous competition. I was on a webinar the other night for a fund that's hoovering up as many as they can find. These deals just don't find themselves, don't find their way onto, you know, most of the brokers' websites. Mm-hmm. So if you're a early buyer of, you know, early in your career investing, you're just not going to see a deal that you should probably buy. Number one. Number two, it's probably going to be fairly expensive. And number three, you've got this other issue that I just mentioned, which is, you know, you're going to have to convince me that you understand what the end market is, and you should understand it if you're going to buy it. So, yeah, that's my problem. Now, let me give you something that I mentioned to SaaS buyers, which I think is highly relevant. There's a guy named, an author named John Warlow. He wrote the epic book, Built to Sell. He followed that book up with, and he said in his foreword to a book called The Automatic Customer, that he should have made half the book, Built to Sell, about how to convert to a business, you know, building to selling with the selling in mind. Mm-hmm. He should have built in the end game is to have as much recurring revenue as possible. Hmm. And that's what people are really looking for when they're looking for SaaS. And he goes through numerous different business models, everything from productized services to other continuity programs like, you know, membership community sites. These all have this very much the same characteristics of SaaS. And if you haven't read The Automatic Customer, we should put a link on the show notes to it. It's a wonderful book. And if you haven't read Built to Sell, do Built to Sell first and then The Automatic Customer. But if you're a relatively new buyer and you're looking for SaaS sites, you're not going to find one. Okay. Mm. It's just not, yeah, I just, you know, I can show you on a weekly basis physical good e-commerce sites. And, you know, you could say, well, you know, Ian, you're out of the loop, you know, guilty as charged. But I can tell you for sure that you can see physical goods e-commerce sites all day long. And it's very rare to see a SaaS site. Broaden your horizons out if you're a SaaS buyer and start to think about, you know, other things that might have continuity income, what exactly it is that you might be able to do. Look, we're looking in our physical goods e-commerce sites of building in continuity income. When somebody buys something, if they, you know, and when we look at businesses, we say, what are the natural things that someone might need on a regular basis? That's very attractive. So we're looking for that. They're hard to find though.
Yeah. Okay, great. And then one thing that you mentioned that was really important to you is finding a mentor.
Well, yeah. So you look, your single best investment's in yourself. And I bought way too many courses that I've never completed, but where I think I've gotten something out of them. I'm involved in communities and I have coaches and believe in coaching. And, you know, this online investing thing, you know, you're in your head all day long looking at stuff. You can just, you know, you don't have to do this alone. There are great resources out there and that, you know, you can tap into. And, you know, that's the best money that you'll spend. Whether that is attending conferences, whether that is to find a mentor, whether that is to be in a community, whether it is to buy courses, you know, all of these things are things that you should be doing on. But there really is no substitute for having this kind of a conversation like you and I are having. Mm-hmm. And, you know, finding someone where you go, you know what, I think that that person, you know, is speaking, you know, kind of from the place that I come from. And, you know, I could use some coaching. I currently have two coaches that I work with and, you know, it's kind of keeps me accountable and absolutely, you know, shortens the whole process for me on anything that I'm thinking about. I actually will be working on something for one of those coaches tomorrow because, you know, quite frankly, I've been caught up, doing other things for, 2 or 3 weeks and I'm behind and, you know, I know I'm accountable and I know that I'm also going to see that bill that, you know, is going to come in, you know, cause I pay monthly and I won't give up my slot. That's for sure. So, mm-hmm. you know, I want to keep that guy. So yeah,
that's great. And it's also good hearing. I think we tend to think of mentoring as, you know, vertical and when you join these communities, there's a lot of horizontal mentoring that can happen too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, and you know, I always describe it as when you join a community, you're a lurker. And then occasionally, yeah, then you'll you'll watch what's going on in there. And then occasionally you contribute. And then you become most of these communities have leaderboards. Then you become one of these, you know, studs that's on the leaderboard. You know, you've gotten the most points for the week or the month or something like that. You know, that you're never gonna find me there. But I can tell you that what it costs to join a community, I don't care if it's $49 a month or $69 a month, you know, one good piece of advice, one good referral pays for all of that forever. Okay. Right. You know, don't be one of these people that you know, when you can join a community and you've got people that are diverse and they've been doing this and they live and breathe it, you know, and have they, you know, maybe, you know, there are people that are just ahead of you, and there are people way ahead of you. You have nothing but upside, nothing but upside.
Right, right. All right. That's about all the time we have. Thank you so much, Ian. That was really great.
That was exciting. Thanks so much for the time. And I think it's a great topic, and hopefully we'll get some comments on it. So thanks. Okay.
All right.
See you, Ryan.
All right, folks, there you have it. That wraps up my conversation with Ian Bond of Professional Website Investors. He shared a ton of valuable insights and advice today on why you should focus on physical goods e-commerce websites. We also shared some tools and resources, which will all be linked up in the show notes at professionalwebsiteinvestors.com. I hope you enjoyed this conversation. Please consider subscribing, sharing with a friend, or leaving us a review in your favorite podcast directory. Until next time, best of luck in all that you do, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Professional Website Investor Podcast.